2 Timothy chapter 2. I hope you found your place there. We're going to begin in verse number 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." We'll stop right there with our reading. And as we look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2, it's evident that the Apostle Paul is speaking to this young pastor named Timothy. He is giving some instructions and some advice as Timothy is in this role of leadership. And Paul is helping him with things that he is dealing with. It is evident from the text that Paul begins in verse number 1 by saying this, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." But the reason that Paul says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ alone," is because of what he's about to say next. That there's about to be trials that you're going to have to go through, and only through Christ's strength you'll get through them. So today, I want to preach a message called "How to Endure Hardships for the Gospel's Sake." I think it's important for us in Christians' lives when we proclaim that we are going to live gospel lives, that we understand that there will be trials that come. We must understand that there will be hardships, as we can see through Paul's own testimony in this chapter, as he describes his own personal trials. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand the first thing we need to know about how to deal with hardships, and that is this: hardships will come when you live for the gospel. We can see that in verse number 1 through 4 here. This is a reality that we're going to have to wake up to. If you are bold enough to stand up and to say, "I am a follower of Christ," then you must also be bold enough to endure trials for His sake. This is understanding that hardships will come. And when we understand that, we can understand that there is a proper response to dealing with hardships. Look at verse number 3. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We can see from verse number 3 the response that we're supposed to have, because we know hardships are coming, but we also know that there is a certain response that God requires, as we can see here, and that is this: to have a response of a soldier. When you think of a soldier on a battlefield, do you think of someone who goes out there and who's cowardly and afraid of the enemy? No, you think of someone who goes out there boldly, equipped with his armor or his weapons, whatever he has, and he goes out there and he runs towards the enemy and he keeps his eye on the goal till the mission is accomplished. This is the same mindset when we're dealing with trials in our lives. We must keep a focus on the Master. We must understand what our goal is, and that is to please God in our trials. So we understand that there's a certain response to hardships. We also must remember who called us. At the end of verse number 3, it says, "A good soldier of Jesus Christ." That's a huge title on our lives when we call ourselves soldiers of Jesus Christ. At the end of World War II, this unique concept arose called the Loyal Soldiers Program. This was the name given to soldiers who was left alone on small islands all over the world, who didn't know that the war ended, but they remained committed to the task the entire time they were on these islands. One of the most memorable cases of this Loyal Soldiers Program was a man named Hirawan Nada, a soldier who was assigned the post on the Lungbang Islands in the Philippines. This man had truly suffered throughout this war, as he saw everyone else in his unit either die or surrender to the enemy. This man really knew what suffering was. But it wasn't until his commanding officer got word of him still on those islands that his commanding officer set out on a journey to bring him back home, because the war had ended. When his commanding officer got there, he told Hero that it was safe to come home. Hero then explained that he was not going to return home until he heard from the commanding officer, and he returned home that day because of the man who sent him told him it was okay. We can learn a lot from this man. There's a lot we can take from this. We know that Hero, he stood in this unit of men while they're training, knowing that World War II is approaching. He stood beside men who called themselves soldiers, men who said, I'm committed to the task, men who said that they are going to listen to whatever their commanding officer said, who's going to persevere when the war comes. But when the enemy came, we see that they surrendered to the enemy. In our Christian lives, we may see this, we could relate to this, that when we live for Christ, we stand around people who says, yes, let's press on for the gospel's sake. Let's live gospel lives. And we see when the enemy comes and when trials come, they give up. They surrender to the enemy. But I challenge you today to remain faithful to the task. You be faithful in your trial because you remember who called you. When you're dealing with trials, we must also understand that we are going through this hardship to please the Master. As we can see in verse number 4, it says, no man that warreth entangling himself with the affair of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We learn in verse number 3, we're soldiers of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? When it says in verse number 4 that we need to please him who called us, that means we need to please Christ. If we are going to please Christ in trials, there's only one way to do that, and that is through obeying what God's word says about trials. So we must please our Master. Is your focus on God alone in your trials? Is your focus to spread and to proclaim the gospel no matter what you go through? We must understand that hardships are going to come when we live for the gospel. We also see in this text that Christians should endure hardships with integrity. We see this in verses 5 and 6. I want you to understand from the text, we can learn that Christians with integrity will find no honor in unfaithfulness. As Christians, we are inevitably going to face trials. There is no way to escape trials when you proclaim the name of Christ because of the sin-cursed world that we live in. But we must have a certain integrity when we face these trials. Think of an athlete in a competition. Here at ABC, we have what we call warriors. These are our teams for soccer and basketball and volleyball. We call ourselves warriors. And whether you're out there on the court or the field as a warrior or you're just watching them participate, you understand that there's a set rules that you are not supposed to step outside of. You are not to go outside of the bounds of the rules or you will be disqualified and it can lead to you losing the game. And just as we see here in verse number 5, it says, if a man also strive for mastery, yet he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. If you're going to step outside of the bounds of the word of God when you're dealing with trials, you will not be rewarded. And we understand this. I want you to see when you watch people compete and they're going out there against the competitor that they have to stay within the bounds of the rules. Once they step outside of those bounds, then you have become unfaithful to the rules and you will not win the victory. And it's the same in our lives. We're not athletes, but we can compare ourselves to what the Bible is saying here. When it says we must obey and honor the Word of God, we must stay within the bounds of the Word of God, we must obey what God has said when we face trials so we can have the ultimate reward because there is no honor in unfaithfulness. And in contrast to that, we see Christians with integrity will be rewarded for their faithfulness. Think of the man Job, a man that God himself called upright. One of the most outstanding things that any of us would say about Job is his suffering. He truly dealt with stuff in his life. He suffered loss. But Job said this in Job 27, 5 and 6. He said, till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I will hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. This man had every opportunity to lose his integrity after he lost everything, his family, his possessions. But he said in chapter 27 that he will keep his integrity, and this is how we should be when we endure trials. Are you keeping your integrity? I want you to understand that there's no integrity in finding the easy way out. Let me give you a warning here, because I'm human just like you. When you face trials and you're all alone and you feel like nobody's watching, that's the moment you think that it's okay to cut corners and to be unfaithful to God. When you start to feel like nobody will ever find out or nobody will ever know because I'm here all alone, I can be unfaithful in this area, I could quit reading and I could quit praying, that's when you start dealing with this is when you're alone and you think it's okay to cut corners. But you must have integrity for God. You must be a man or a woman that has integrity in trials. Understand this. Faithfulness is the means to please God when going through a trial. If you are unfaithful, you will suffer in that trial and you will not be rewarded for your unfaithfulness. We also see in this text here that enduring hardships allow you to see the power of the gospel. Look at verse number 9. This is Paul speaking. He said, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Paul knew something about the power of the word of God. And during trials, that's when you're going to see the fruition of the gospel. That's when you're going to see the true power of the gospel. Through hardships, we will see that the gospel is not restricted. As I said, you will go through hardships in your lives when you proclaim that you're a follower of Christ. And I said that there's a certain response that you're supposed to have, a certain integrity, a certain faithfulness when you face these trials. And it's when you have the right response and you are obedient and faithful to the Word of God that you will see the gospel power and that it is not restricted. You may be dealing with things in your life. I don't know what the title of your trial is. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's family matters. Whatever the title of your trial is, give it to God and let Him show you the power of His Word and His gospel. Give it over to Him and let Him show you things that you never thought you would see. We must endure hardships for the gospel's sake. It's also during hardships that Christians will see that there is saving power in the gospel, as we can see in verse number 10. Think of this young man, Joseph, over there in the book of Genesis. This young man was sold into slavery. He was thrown into a cold jail for 13 years. I would say that's a pretty rough life. But he faced his trials with resilience and a strong faith in the Lord. He faced his trials with a focus on God as he continued to go through all this stuff around him, whether it was slavery or whether it was hatred or whether it was separation. He kept his focus on God because he knew that God had a purpose for him. He didn't focus on the jail around him or the hatred of his brothers, but rather he focused on God alone. Genesis 50:20 says this, "But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save many people alive." This is what Joseph said. He knew what the saving power of the gospel was when he kept his focus on God. We understand that Joseph saved many people from a famine because of God's working in him. He even saved his own family through this famine because he trusted in God in his trials. Without hardships, many Christians will never see the power of God. If you are unfaithful in your trial, you will never see the ultimate power of God. But when you are committed, whether you are seeking to be a pastor or whether you're seeking to be a missionary or whatever you may be, if you're just working a daily vocation, whatever God has for you, I challenge you to be faithful when trials come. Like I said, if you are going to be bold enough to stand up and say that I am a follower of Christ, that I am a servant of His Word, then you must be bold enough to face these trials with a focus on Him. Whether it may look like God's doing something right now in your life or you feel like you're all alone and God's not working, I promise you, if you're faithful to Him and His Word, you will see the power of His gospel in your life. We must look at hardships in this way. When we live gospel lives, we must realize that there will be trials that you face. I want you to understand that the gospel is a lifestyle. It's not something that you just commit to one day and then you forget that you ever committed and you're unfaithful to it, but it's a lifestyle that you should live to please God. It is the gospel of Christ. We must understand what we are talking about. It is the gospel that has the power to heal brokenness. It is the gospel that has the power to give hope. It is the gospel that has the power to get you through the trial. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this is why we must endure hardships for the gospel's sake. It is important that we look at trials knowing that they are going to come. We must first have a right response with integrity. We must look at it and persevere with faithfulness to God's word, and that's when you'll see the ultimate power of the gospel. This is how we endure hardships for the gospel's sake. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. I pray that we would take it and apply it to our lives, Lord, as we know that we will face trials. I pray that you would just help us to focus on your word and to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.